The WNBA is averaging 1.3 million views per game, which triples last season's average. So clearly there is a ton of interest right now. Steve Courtney, WJR sports analyst, joins us now to talk more about this. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Jamie. Hello again, everyone. This chat brought to you by the hardworking men and women at Bill Brown Ford. You know, my good friend Matt Garko and, of course, his team, they're doing wonderful things for you each and every day. Drive with the champions at Bill Brown Ford. Shop their TrueView inventory at BillBrownFord.com today. Let's not forget about the Performance Remodeling Sweepstakes. Performance Remodeling, a preferred partner of the Inside Outside guys. Well, they kicked off another $100,000 window of opportunity sweepstakes. Request your windows, roofing, and siding quote today. Log into WindowsRoofingSiding.com to enter the Performance Remodeling Sweepstakes. Indeed, Jim, the first month of the WNBA season, oh, it was a biggie. The league drew its highest attendance since the league's second season back in 1998 and the best television ratings in the history. This according to the league itself. They made the announcement yesterday. Now, the figures are the latest evidence of the surging popularity of the WNBA since it added prominent rookies, including, of course, Indiana's Caitlin Clark, Chicago's Angel Reese, and Los Angeles's Cameron Brink, all of whom drew big audience while playing in college. Now, the gain is across all platforms that televise WNBA games, like you mentioned, averaging 1.32 million viewers, tripling last season's average of 462,000. The quote, "What's happening now in women's basketball is confirmation of what we've always known. The demand is there, and women's sports is a valuable investment." This, according to Coley Edison, the WNBA's chief growth officer, "We're encouraged by growing engagement across all our verticals, especially as we welcome new and diverse audiences into our fandom." The WNBA finished last month having sold out more than half its games, more than double the number of sellouts last year. How about this? Approximately 400,000 fans have attended games, the most through the first month in some 26 years. Interesting enough, arenas have been filled to 94% capacity, a 17% rise from last year. Some games, as a matter of fact, have been moved to bigger arenas to accommodate increased fan interest, such as Clark and her Fever playing at the Washington Wizards downtown arena in front of 20,333 fans last Friday night instead of the Mystics' usual venue, which seats about 4,200. Let's not forget about merchandise sales. They rose 236% from the same period last year. Safe to say, you guys, the WNBA is on a roll.
Yeah, and, you know, it's possibly more affordable to go watch WNBA instead of NBA. And there's really no better ticket than a floor seat to one of these games, because if you've ever sit on the floor, it's like you're playing the game with them. It's awesome.
Yeah, I can't relate. I don't have that pull.
Someone invited me. I did not buy that.
Well, you get to hear the communication and the playmaking, right?
Some guy fell into Ryan, my husband, uh-huh. And he looks at him and he goes, "Did that go in?" And Ryan goes, "Yeah, it went in the basket."
Yeah, sometimes you got to be the eyes. There's no question. Listen, quick sidebar here, you guys. A lot has been made about Caitlin Clark being omitted from the U.S. Women's Olympic roster. Since that time, the selection committee didn't believe that Caitlin Clark had enough high-level reps to be a member of the group headed to the Paris Games. Now, the team itself includes seven players from the group that won gold in Tokyo, the seventh straight for the Americans. To put it in simpler terms, the U.S. Women's Hoops team has won every gold medal since the 1996 Games in Atlanta. But here is the rub. Impact has been minimal. Television ratings for the women's team, with all the success they've had, have barely moved the meter. Now, my point is this. You've got Caitlin Clark, who is a real crowd pleaser. She is an impact player. Yes, she's a rookie. I understand that. And she's going through some rookie mishaps. But that being said, if you truly want to send a team to Paris and have an impact back in the States and have people tuned in, And we know Caitlin Clark can play the game. Why isn't she on the roster? I still just for the life of me don't understand that.
Well, having her on there would bring eyeballs to it, sure.
Absolutely.
But is she one of the 12 best players in America right now? She's not averaging the points that some of these other women are.
We've had other big names, big NBA names, that were left off the team, even though they would have been a draw, but their numbers and their performance in that time didn't justify them being there.
Well, and we have seen locally, as it applies to Olympic basketball, that there is a lot of politics involved. There's no getting around that.
Yeah.
But you've got, again, an impact player in Caitlin Clark. Meanwhile, Diana Taurasi, a fine player, don't get me wrong. She's going back to the Olympics for a record sixth time. Her Olympic career started when she was a WNBA rookie in the 2004 Athens Games, and she is going to turn 42 years of age coming up in a couple of days. I understand there is no replacement for experience, but at some point, the Olympic team is going to have to, bring in some fresh blood.
Hey, bring in the Detroit Shock. How about that?
Oh.
Bring it back. I'm ready
to
bring it back. Yeah. Bring back the Detroit Shock. We can do it.
I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful time to even consider it.
Right.
And there was a time not that long ago, no offense, Lloyd, but your idea would have been poo-pooed in record time.
But there's no poo-poo here.
No poo-poo.
This is a poo-poo-free zone, Lloyd Jackson.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And on that note, Steve Courtney, WJR Sports Analyst, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, you guys. You know that. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Listeners, if you didn't catch it, we talked to Pastor Zoe. He's the pastor of Church 180. He is going to be hosting former President Donald Trump this weekend with a roundtable. Check out that podcast. He changed the course of that event by what he wanted, and it's more about Donald Trump listening than maybe speaking, and it's going to be an interesting thing, and he talks about it. You can find that at WJR.com. And on a personal note, go to CranbrookTennisClassic.com. Get the tickets to support this pro tennis
event. Absolutely.
But that tennis facility at Cranbrook, can I just say, my in-laws were the lead donors helped build that. So to Chuck and Barbara Gesquire, thank you for building this because you helped build it. And now
they
are
coming.
They're coming.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. I'll talk is next.